Hello and welcome to XI Cafe, the Experience Improvement Podcast brought to you by InMoment. My name is Corey. I manage the content here at InMoment, and today we are talking with Scott Wilson and Jake Grayson Barker, both CX professionals at Downer in their respective customer experience and employee experience teams. These two have spearheaded initiatives that were shortlisted in last year's CX Awards, both for Best CX Team and Best EX Initiative. And today we'll be exploring their transformational CX journey, innovative approaches to linking CX and EX, and the team dynamics that help set them apart in delivering outstanding customer experiences. Hello and welcome, Scott.
Hi, Corey.
And welcome to you, Jake.
Thanks for having us.
No problem. Well, let's start out at a high level. Can you please tell us a bit about Downer as a company and an overview of your CX program?
So Downer as a company, we have a history spanning over 150 years. We have a significant presence in Oceania, and we employ about 30,000 people across more than 300 sites. That's mostly in Australia and New Zealand, but we also have a role in the Pacific as well. Downer is an organization, we're kind of a company that once you see us, we're a little bit everywhere. But often we get, you know, what is it that we do? So we engage in design, construction, and maintenance of assets, infrastructure, and facilities. And as such, we're actually the leading provider of integrated infrastructure services across Australia and New Zealand. So when it comes to roads, rail, your utilities, the buildings, and the facilities within them, it's all Downer, and we can all provide it. So we have a really diverse business, but that also means we have a really diverse customer set as well in terms of who we deliver to. If I was to talk about our company purpose, our promise and the pillars, all of this kind of reflects our commitment to doing the right thing for our customers, for our people, and the communities where we operate. So our company purpose is enabling communities to thrive. And it's really cool. It defines our commitment to creating a sustained impact on the communities where we operate. So in the context of customer experience, it's extremely relevant, and employee experience is extremely relevant because essentially we're a B2B company in most cases, and delivering with a purpose, which is B2B2C. So our customer's customer and the community where we operate. And that kind of leads into our promise, which is our customer's success is our success. So by focusing on delivering an exceptional experience to our customers, we enable the community to thrive. And that's kind of the focus of, I guess, our overall experience program and why we have a joined CX and EX team. So our program overall is quite agile by nature. We had some foundational programs which we set up, which were around kind of relationships, so that B2B relationship, and also around employee experience and pulse checking with our employees. And the idea was really to how do we kind of keep the pulse on the health of our relationships with our customers, and also overlaying that with, you know, how satisfied are our employees, how engaged are our employees, how can we bring that into kind of one ecosystem? Because, you know, the ethos for our program is that there's a multiplier on our customer experience, and that's our employees. So the more that we can kind of invest to make sure that the employee experience is great, that's going to lead to great customer outcomes, and that's going to lead to great kind of purchasing outcomes and them wanting to work with Downer even more. And, you know, our program was agile from the get-go, and we had these foundational programs which we started with. But really what we wanted to do was make sure that we were growing that, because when we're talking about communities and we're talking about how we deliver, we've kind of expanded to kind of capture all those other stakeholder groups. So we think about our supply partners and how we're making sure that that experience through either delivery through our supply partners or working with our supply partners in an alliance, for example, kind of works. But also when we are delivering out into the community, and roadworks is a good example, you know, how are we minimizing disruption or delivering the fastest and best experience for them as well? So our program tries to kind of encapsulate all of that, so that we can have a kind of a single view of our customers, which is that really diverse group that I talked about at the beginning.
Awesome. I talking about our integrated CX framework, which is stronger signals, richer insights, and smarter actions. I know you mentioned a few of the listening signals that you already capture, but are there any other customer signals or feedback channels that you capture in your program that you wanted to go over?
Maybe I could start on the employee experience ones, Scott. And you know, when we started this journey together, looking at EX within Downer, we started at our new starters. So people coming into the business, setting up a listening pulse that was tracking their journey throughout the first year of their employment, which was quite a different way to anything we'd done in the past. And it was a great way to monitor engagement of employees and how they were feeling as they joined the business, and to really identify the touch points and times at which engagement may be dipping, and how we can look at trying to turn that around. And also, obviously, when new employees come in, they're interacting with our customers. And so that data is really important from the customer side as well, to make sure that we're focused on it. After we had launched that one, we sort of then branched our sights out to what else the InMoment platform could offer. And we launched an employee pulse pilot, which after being run within a smaller segment of our business, we then rolled it out to a full Trans-Tasman, Australia and New Zealand rollout a year later, which really set some strong benchmarks and a strong platform to grow from for that business unit within Downer. But we also have a range of periodic or on-demand pulses that have been set up that as and when we need them within the business, we can deploy them. And some examples of that is we've got listening pulses related to change processes, or when we're undergoing change within the business, being able to track sentiment of our people, make sure that we're communicating effectively, that we understand where they're at and when support or more information is required, we're able to provide that. We've also done things like inclusion and belonging pulses, which really gives a good snapshot on our people's views of inclusion at work and making sure that all of our people feel that they can turn up and be their true authentic self in the workplace. And then things like culture, when we want to do a deep dive into the culture of our teams, we've got listening pulses set up that can be deployed as small as a team of, say, 30 people, up to large regions or geographies of people. So, yeah, as Scott mentioned, quite agile in nature. And as we go and we're identifying needs either from our customers or employees, we're able to sort of set up different listening pulses to meet those needs.
Yeah, I think the question around, I guess, the metrics and, you know, what kind of listening signals and feedback channels do we have? So I think from a customer perspective, we focus on Net Promoter Score, NPS, and we also focus on overall satisfaction, and we overlay these with some key drivers behind them. So we have these two metrics and then about 20 kind of driver metrics behind it for our relationship program. And I guess those key drivers allow us to kind of understand, especially when we're looking at year on year within the program, what are the things that matter most for our customers, at least in the last 12 months, and how's that maybe changing over time? So I think the COVID pandemic, especially in New Zealand as well, with you know, the flow of migration resources, we could see, you know, a couple of years ago that talent, people, resourcing was a key driver for recommendation in OSAT. So we were able to kind of get people and retain great people. There was a driver for satisfaction, and that was heavily linked in with why we joined these programs together in the early stages. And something that we started to see change through our driver metrics over the last year is inflation is becoming and cost escalation is becoming more of a challenge. So we're starting to see those metrics shift towards value and value for money. And value is for money, at least in our industry, is also highly linked with innovation and technology as well. So we're starting to see kind of year on year that there's a little bit of a shift in which signals are having the greatest impact on the NPS score and on the OSAT score. But the people element still remains. It's just perhaps not as strong as it was a couple of years ago. But we went through a bit of a segmentation of how do we understand our diverse kind of customer network, and went through kind of, you know, looking at demographic segmentation because, you know, is there a difference between cities and rural-based kind of clients and operations? And what about the size of the networks, the roading networks that they're looking after, for example? Does that kind of change behaviours, or can we look at different segments through that way? And where we kind of landed is actually the best way is probably behavioural and looking at those driver questions and which driver questions have the biggest impact on on MPS and splitting them into kind of three segments. So what we kind of see with our segments of clients, I kind of call them the baseline clients, that they're looking for a job well done, delivered kind of on time to an adequate quality. And that's where they're looking to measure us. Then you kind of, when we start to get up into our other segments, you start to see that continuous improvement, value for money becomes a little bit more important. And it's not until we kind of get to our last segment where we're seeing that actually one of the key drivers is that innovation. And we kind of have a license with some of those customers where they're really satisfied to say, actually, we want to see more innovation. We want to take on more risk and jointly manage risk together and implement some of those new products. So by using all the driver questions and that segmentation, we can start to kind of inform our teams on how to improve the customer experience, on what their customers wanting, what segment they fit into. And that overall kind of helps us as an organization remain customer centric. I think probably one other thing I'd add is by having the customer, the EX data within the same platform as well, we're able to kind of see some interesting alignment from what customers are telling us and what our employees at a regional level are telling us as well. So like, for example, one thing that we've found recently is by looking at correlations between the data is if we look at different regions, we can actually see that there's a statistically visible perception of our customers of employee engagement. So when we ask our employees about, you know, how they feel in the team and do we attract and retain the best people, when we're scoring really high in that, the customer perception of our people was also higher. To me, that kind of speaks to why it's so important to get the employee engagement mix right, because it does impact on that customer's perception of us. And we can see that in the data that we've collected, which I think is really awesome.
Wow, that is interesting. I know from our work here, you guys would be one of the leaders doing CX and EX linkage. So you should be really proud of yourselves over there. Switching lanes a little bit, can you share a real life story about how something in your VOC program directly influenced a significant outcome or maybe a decision within the company, and how those insights gathered from customers contributed to that outcome? Basically, where has customer feedback really shown through for you guys over there?
Yeah, I think probably the program or the listening program which I'm most proud of is off the back of Cyclone Gabrielle, which was a natural disaster that occurred here in New Zealand, which impacted across kind of the Bay of Plenty, Te Rāwhiti and Hawke's Bay regions. So a number of people were cut off for a number of days from communications and road cutoffs, and you know the impact of that is continuing today. But we ran a listening program where we looked at, hey, look, there's so many different people impacted here. If we were to make decisions and just listen to one group, whether it be our employees or our customers, you know, we probably would be making decisions off imperfect data. And I think in the case of an emergency event, although you need to have the best data, you want to have the best data you possibly can to make the best decisions. And so we started a program which went to our customers and asked, it was a very short survey, but a series of questions. We, at the exact same time, we went to our supply partners in the region. We said, look, I think we were 4 or 5 weeks post the cyclone at this point. You know, how did we do and what could we do better as a partner, supply partner in the region? And we went to people who are impacted in the community, who we directly had contact with or were supported, where their roads were cut off. We also went to our employees as well. We said, look, you know, a lot of them have been working huge numbers of hours and completely committed to the cause. And we said, look, you know, how do we do? What can we learn for next time? And by bringing kind of those four different perspectives together, it really kind of helped us to kind of recognize what great work had been done, but not only by our teams, but by everybody in the region. Because, you know, one of the questions we asked was that, do you have a shout out for any of the great mahi that has been done in the area? And what resulted was just a flow. I can't remember the exact number, but it felt like 100 plus of individual call outs to teams and people just saying what great work that they'd done. And I think it was a really powerful way to start a lessons learned for what was probably some really hard lessons in there as well, off the back of some really kind of positive delivery. And I think what where this kind of helped in terms of influencing kind of decisions and outcome, this eventually kind of fed into our emergency response strategy for future preparedness. But it allowed us to kind of validate that, you know, there was some not all feedback that came through necessarily what was consistent. So it allowed us to kind of look for where is there inconsistencies and how do we look at kind of the top-down view of what the actual feedback is and kind of break through a little bit of that noise to make sure that we're, you know, being prepared in the best way possible and perhaps not just focusing on one group, but looking at the total group to understand, because if we just made those decisions that were just for our employees, for example, or just for our subcontractors, we might be making the wrong preparedness decisions inside of ignoring another group to their detriment. So I was really proud of that work. And I think, you know, luckily we haven't, a lot of that, we haven't had a disaster of the same kind of magnitude again, but I think, you know, the work that we've done there helps prepare us for the future. So really proud of that. I'm not sure if you'd have anything to add, Jake, from an employee side around this question.
Yeah, well, I think just to speak to the, I know the impact that this listening pulse did have, Scott, the engagement that we got from the employees and taking those lessons learned, having the different perspectives was a really unique way of both allowing them to share their perspectives on our response and how we could perhaps do things better or what we did really well, but equally getting those balanced views from the different stakeholders was a really nice way to share positive feedback, but also to get that balanced view. So yeah, it was a really strong and powerful listening pulse to influence at all levels of the organization, right down to our crews on the front line that are doing all of the hard work. So yeah,
awesome. Interesting, you guys. And so I understand as well from talking to you both that Downer has transitioned from focusing on new starters to enhancing trans-Tasman engagement with utilities. Could you possibly elaborate on the challenges encountered during this transition and how the company's agile nature facilitated the adaptation process?
Yeah, sure. So I think like a number of organizations at the moment, we went through a bit of a refocusing. I think it started in February of 2023. And in July of last year, we went into our trans-Tasman structure. So where previously we were predominantly quite focused with this program on transport and transport within New Zealand, our model shifted within Downer. We now have an Australasian focus. So Australasian change, at least for myself, has meant that, you know, as a business, kind of took a step back and said, right, where's operating really well from understanding our customers' perspective and making customer-centric change, you know, linking in with the purpose talked about earlier around enabling communities to thrive. And then how do we take that up to a group level and make sure that, you know, all of our businesses, not just Transport New Zealand, but all of our businesses across Australia and New Zealand, they have both a consistent effective program which allows us to understand, you know, what impact is Downer making in the communities. So a bit of a mixture of kind of navigating the transformational change over that period and I guess the cost justification, but we have a number of different business units of utilities and our rail business as well as our facilities business. And, you know, bringing this program and engaging with those business units to expand across group, it's really been kind of a right time, right impact approach. So that's kind of injecting our CX and EX offering, you know, at a group level to those that are excited, emphatic, and can kind of see the benefit early and have engaged with us early and we've gone in there and delivered. And then others are on different stages of their change journey. So, you know, some of the other business units were at early stages of kind of rolling out their first. And then others were getting onto our second in terms of the relationship program. So I think when it comes to our approach, it's been very much we've got a great standard. It's now Australasian. We're engaging with each of the business units and it's a when you're ready, we'll come in and we'll deliver. Because I'm a big believer that there's no point pushing insights onto a business unit that's not ready to do something with it. So once they're ready to do something with it and there's a commitment to delivery off the back of it, we go in and we run the programs and we expand it from there in that agile kind of way. But I think what's been really key from my perspective is that executive buy-in. We have great executive buy-in where we're working within Downer. And I think they kind of champion the outcomes that we deliver, and they are championing the customer through that. So that kind of, that permeates through the business. It leads to, this culture that I see within Downer Everywhere, which is a continuous improvement culture of always wanting to do best for the customer, which I think is great. There's been a few cool things that we've done in expanding that through the Trans-Tasman approach as well. I think, Jake, what you've been doing with the EX kind of pulse has been great. Do you want to talk to that?
Yeah. And I guess it sort of speaks to one of the initial challenges my remit is working within the transport space. We had a new Trans-Tasman leadership team, and so half of that team had done work in this space before, where the other half were completely new, didn't know about InMoment or the listening pulses that we've done. So it was bringing two teams essentially together as one, and then engaging them together behind the engagement pulse that we rolled out Trans-Tasman. But what we could see was, as soon as they could understand the remit and the scope of what we were trying to achieve, and then they could see the results coming out of it, it's a great way to take open-minded leaders through that process and really engage them, and then utilizing some of the, you know, the unique tools and sentiment analysis, and Scott's done some great work with AI trying to pull all of the information that we had together, presenting it back, has been a really good way of bringing that team together on that journey, and now asking a whole lot more questions about where we can use listening pulses and link our CX and EX journeys together even more. So yeah, it's been really exciting, actually.
Yeah, awesome. Good work, everyone. Let's talk, as the final question here, let's talk about metrics. I understand Downer has some pretty interesting proof points showcasing the success of the program. If you could please tell us about those, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think metrics is sometimes a hard one to kind of talk to, because it's something you have to wait a little bit of time to prove that something's happening. So I think the early stages of your program, there's a bit of the metrics will come. As long as you're focused on what metrics are going to matter in a year's time, then and you're patient, then they get there. And luckily for us, you know, our program's been going a couple of years now. So we had that focus on metrics early on when we implemented that. You know, we wanted to be able to kind of link promoter status to margin profitability. And we were able to do that. You know, sometimes there's logical things, you know, actually where teams are doing well and the customer loves what we're doing, it should be profitable, and everyone's kind of you know, working together towards a greater outcome. And luckily now through the data and year on year, we're able to kind of make those connections. So we can see that our long-term margins, because often in the B2B space, we have, you know, long-term contracts. Some of our contracts, you're talking kind of, you know, 10 plus years. We can see that those contracts that are you know, doing well and are in that promoter space, they do return better long-term margins for us. And that kind of, to me, goes to show that actually customers that, you know, love what we do, and the culture that exists within our teams of continuous improvement and innovation, that drives, you know, greater outcomes for the customer, and that results in great financial metrics off the back of it too. And then we see the inverse of that as well, where the relationships become more challenging, and our teams are operating potentially in a environment that feels more constrained, or there's not that conduciveness to innovation and being able to kind of improve things and change, because we're, you know, maybe we're focusing on the issues of the day and not thinking about the solutions of the future, that results in worse margins, worse customer experience, and a decreasing kind of employee experience. So it makes it really clear for us on if you look at the metrics, actually what we need to do is we need to turn both sides of that around, because all of them lift the boat together when we improve them. So that's kind of the key metrics we've been looking at, and in the CX space.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is there one more thing from you?
Yeah, I guess just to add on to that from an EX perspective, as Scott mentioned, creating baselines, we've been able to do that, as previously mentioned, Trans-Tasman across the transport space at least, which is really exciting, but it allows us to then use that as we go forward in future years. But some areas that we have been, like the new starter listening pulse, have been able to pull quite rich insights out of, is identifying drivers behind low engagement and then deploying targeted solutions that are aimed specifically to solve those pain points. And as a result, we have seen positive results, such as increased employee engagement and retention. Some of it's in more early journeys, but others we are starting to see some real positive influence and results.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on the podcast and having such an in-depth conversation on your CX journey. And thank you to our guests for listening to the episode this week. We hope you enjoyed it and stay tuned for more just like this in the future. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks.